And it is my pleasure to welcome in Hall of Famer, one of the 50 greatest, one of the best to ever do it. He is Nate Tiny Archibald, 14 NBA seasons, and he's kind enough to join me right now. Of course, NBA champion in 1981 with the Boston Celtics. And Nate, this is a thrill and an honor for me to get to have you on the program. I greatly appreciate your time. And how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. I wish I was down there to get some of that warm weather and sun. But let me ask you a question. When, and I know you have a new arena, when are they going to have one of these All-Star games in Orlando?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I think we apply pretty steadily every year to try to get that to come back. But I think we're going to get one in the next couple of years, and I would love nothing more than to have you down here in the Sunshine State for that.
I hope so, because what I hear, it's a beautiful place.
It sure is. It's a beautiful arena. And now, do you golf? Do you get to get out and golf? Do you like to swing the stick?
No, not really. I just, you know, and for the people that don't live in New York, it snowed up here, and I would like to feel some sun on these old bones.
I bet. Well, so are you getting hit? You're getting hit hard up there in the Northeast right now, too, aren't you?
Yeah, we got a little sleet the other day, but you know, I was in Florida for a while, and you know what? I kind of missed that weather. You know, I don't golf, but I did a little bicycle riding and a little jogging and just enjoying, you know, the people. It's not like New York, you know, Florida spread out, but I just kind of miss the weather. You know, when you get a little older, you kind of want your body to be warm, not all the time, but kind of feel a little warmth in the sun. And right now, all we see right now is clouds. I know the sun is up there somewhere, but there's still snow on the ground.
There still is. And Nate, speaking with Nate Tiny Archibald, great to have you on the show. You know, you've left New York a couple of times, but you always seem to make your way back there, don't you? New York will always be home for you, and maybe eventually you get to the point where you duck out for a couple of months during the winter. But New York is always home for you, won't it be?
Yeah, but I was in Port St. Lucie for about 6 months, 7 months. I enjoyed it. I used to go over to the Mets, you know, when they did their spring camp with the rookies. I saw them run, so I was really trailing behind a lot of them, because people say trailing. He wasn't running with no. They're a little younger now, but as long as I could see them, I thought I could keep up. But I enjoyed it. You know, but I'm up in New York. I come back here and interact with the kids and, you know, run programs. I kind of have a steady diet with more of the high school kids, maybe the college kids. And people say, well, what about the pro game? I don't watch it as steady as a lot of people because I'm active with high school kids. I want them to kind of further their education and be future student athletes. You know, a lot of the guys that are pros are kind of set in their ways of what they want to do. And we're trying to mold the younger kids to think about options. You know, I had a dream when I was young to be playing, and I tell people, we know about the dream team. Well, I had a dream that I had got to play against Oscar and Wilt. I missed Russell by 1 year because he retired in 69. But then that dream became a reality. I'm not saying that dream came true, but it became a reality. But I went to the University of Texas El Paso, and I got my undergrad degree. So it was kind of like twofold. You play a little bit, you know, you get your degree, and then it's not rolling the dice. You give yourself a chance. Somebody, hopefully, you know, Bob Cousy was my first coach. He gave me a chance, okay, when nobody else thought that this skinny New York kid, 5'11", 6", whatever they height they put me, whatever weight they put on me, they didn't think that I could excel in the NBA game. I tell kids now, and I think that's why a lot of kids are looking at, and, you know, I don't want to put anybody down because he's the best player on the planet, LeBron James. There's not going to be that many LeBron Jameses in the next 10 years. Okay,
right.
A lot of kids are, and it's not a deferment, a lot of kids are looking at people of size, okay? And that's why I say I love Steph Curry, the way his mannerism, the way he plays, the way he excelled in his game. I said, you know, I always kind of question kids. I said, do you know what college he went to? Kids were saying, no. I said, he went to Davis. Okay, and I said he had guys, okay, that handled the ball more than he did. I didn't say better. More than he did. So he deferred to those guys, but he could always shoot the ball. I said, now you see him in a different light with a different
team.
That's right. Okay? I said, his ball handling is off the charts. His vision, people talk about peripheral and stuff. That's only with a point guard. No, that's with a guy who has the ball in his hands that can make other things happen, more importantly, for his team. So his craft is, and I said, when the camera is on, when guys are shooting, you know, they're doing their pregame ritual and stuff like that. You ever see him do the two ball and stuff? Yeah, I can't do that. I said, he practiced that. He probably right. couldn't do that in the beginning, but they say practice makes perfect. And I said, it's a mindset, okay? He's programming his brain that I got to get my hands ready. I got to get my body ready. And I got to go out and get ready to compete. And I said, that's how some of us prepared ourselves. You know, and I went back to New York every year because they have a summer league here, and most of the guys that, you know, who played in the league came back and either played in the Rucker tournament or the Sunny Hill Baker League in Philadelphia. And to me, that was the competition. Now it's all over. Chicago, L.A., you know, they got leagues in Florida, AAU programs in Florida. They got them all over now. And I think that competition, we sort that out. And with the AAU programs now, the competition is there. And a lot of times kids think, well, you know, from New York, Chicago, we play the best basketball. Hey, I tell them, I had a rude awakening when I went to Texas El Paso. I roomed with a guy from Ames, Iowa, Dick Gibbs. Okay? And wait a minute, it gets better. I was 2 years in front of Dick because he went to, you know, junior college. He was a junior college All-American. We became teammates at Kansas City. And people said, how do y'all become teammates? I said, he got drafted. Okay, so, yeah. I mean, basketball, people think it's big, and it's bigger, okay, because you have players now from all over the world, okay? You got Canada, and one of the kids said, Canada? I said, yeah, Canada had six guys that got drafted last year in the first round. I said, you look it up. I said, but they from all over now. And it's not bigger than soccer, because I tell people, soccer probably is the number one sport around the world because you got little kids right. playing in the soccer leagues and stuff like that. You got, if you're talking about population, I said, but basketball gave me a chance to live, learn, and respect the game. I couldn't travel all over the world if it weren't for not just the Boston Celtics winning a championship, not for just playing 14 years, but the resources and making connection with people. They love what you do. And I do more clinics now and more fundamental stuff with the younger kids. I tell people, no, I can't do that, what you see the Magic guys do, jump over the basket and all of that. I watch them. I marvel because, you know, you got players now that are bigger, stronger, right. more versatile. Right. I always get an argument from some of the, not retired guys, but some of the veterans, oh, well, they really can't play. I said, they're more versatile. I said, the only thing that helped me was I had Bob Cousy, who was a backcourt marvel, okay, had me run a team. So it was really easy for me to make that adjustment. Now, if I were a forward or a center and I played in the era with Bob, you was a rebounder and you block shots and you get your behind down the court and there's certain areas where you're going to get the ball. But now you got guys 7 foot tall kind of taking your spot. They're shooting threes.
That's right.
It's not that much of a, to me, a post-up game anymore. And I like the versatility in the players because, hey, you guarding me, you giving me problems, I give it to a 6'9", 6'10 guy, I'm running the floor, and transition is a beautiful thing when a guy is chasing you and you ahead of him and you can score or you have an opportunity to score. So the game of basketball is moving so fast, guys are jumping higher, you know, they're coming out younger, which I disagree. Okay, I really disagree. I know I'm going to get in trouble, but I disagree with that. I think guys should think about options in their life because, you know, when I was younger than them, because some of the guys that y'all have there are in the NBA. I'm in high school, college. I think when I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, man, I could do this forever. Forever That's came right. real fast when I didn't make my high school team.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I got to ask you this, okay. Nate, if you don't mind. You got James Harden and Russell Westbrook, okay? You're the only one in NBA history to lead the league in points and assists in the same year. Are one of those guys going to do it? What do you think of those two guys and their game? Is either one of them similar to the way that you played? And how do you view those two, and do you think it'll be done again, what you did?
We played different. You know, what they call a sign-in card show in Houston, and that night we went to the game. Houston played Phoenix. He plays a different game, but it doesn't matter. He handles the ball. I'm talking about James. He handles the ball 75% of the time. He bought into if you look back in the records, Mike D'Antoni and Nate Archibald were teammates at Kansas City. Okay,
they were. That's right. So you can call on your old buddy and say, "Hey, slow James down. I want to hold on to that record."
No. We talked about it because he has his, I call it pregame ritual. So we kind of talked about it. He said, "What do you think?" I said, "He's bigger. He's stronger." And I said, "Mike, I said I'd love when they got you." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because you played all the defense, bro. I had to play nobody. I had to guard nobody." He said, "But, T, I couldn't score." I said, "That's the difference between the team that he's with or the team that he has opposed to the team that we had. We had veteran guys." I said, "He has an opportunity to, if he decides that's what he wants to do." I don't think they're concentrating on the record. I think they're concentrating on proving to people that they can win, okay? Because, you know, last year, they had a center who was in Atlanta, okay? But both of those guys was on OKC together. And Westbrook had a guy who's with the Golden State Warriors. So, you know, it's a proven thing that these guys want to tell the people, more importantly your fans, that we can win. We could have won with him, but we don't have him. We can win without him. And he's taking it. Both of them are taking it upon their shoulders to prove to people that, first of all, we can run a team. We can get other people involved. Because when James first was with OKC, I thought he was just a scorer. But my man, I'm just telling you, I thought he could shoot, he could score.
Right.
But he bought into the philosophy of Mike D'Antoni, look up the floor, get guys involved. Those guys might not be as good as you, but they could put the ball to the basket. So he is in a better situation than Westbrook. I'm gonna give you my take on Westbrook. He plays harder. He doesn't have the shot like James does. James has a hell of a shot. I could not shoot like that, okay? But Westbrook, to me, is probably the hardest driving guy going to the basket. He's challenging everybody. That's how I play. The unfortunate thing is he doesn't have the same supporting cast as James, okay?
Right.
And, okay, he has to play harder. I watched the game, and when they played against Phoenix, 47 points. He had 8-9 rebounds, you know, maybe 9-10 assists. Played less minutes. If you roll the record books back, I led the league in not just scoring and assists, but minutes played. My body after that year broke down. Okay, but I think these guys are bigger and stronger. The game is different. You know, you're talking about the technology of the shoe, the arenas are much, much more elaborate, okay? Conditioning is better. Everything is better. You got to take care of your body. And I think both of them are not looking to break a record. They're up there. And if you look at the guys that usually lead the league in assists or scoring, they dominate and they control the tempo, and they have the ball in their hands, okay? I'm not saying they take all the shots, but 80% of the time you got the ball, you make decisions. And
that's what's
happening with them. They make decisions about who's going to shoot it, who's not going to shoot it, whether they're going to shoot it, whether they're going to turn it over, because Westbrook, when they played Golden State, had, 10, 11 turnovers, okay?
Right.
He was trying too hard. I saw the game. He was trying too hard, but he wanted to prove something to somebody, okay?
But I love that. I love that competitive fight. I love that fire that he had. And speaking with Nate Tiny Archibald, the Hall of Famer, one of the 50 greatest in NBA history. I got to ask you, because I was a kid growing up in Boston, and I got to see Tiny Archibald playing with the Celtics, 1981, you win the championship. Can you just let me know your thoughts when you first meet Larry Bird coming to that team, and then what? And then a couple years later, getting your championship in 1981. What Boston meant to you, and especially you, what you remember about Larry Bird?
Well, you know, you hear a lot of things about all the players, you know, and I'm not saying I was a veteran, but I was older than those guys. I was on other teams, and Red Auerbach gave me a chance to be a Celtic before Larry. And I tell people it's the old Western, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Before Larry got there, it was the ugly. And they say, well, what about the good and the bad? No, it became better. Not ugly better, but it became better because Larry, Kevin, and Robert brought a different dimension to the team, especially Larry, because, you know, you know people throw stuff out on guys, can't run, can't jump. And I'm saying, can't shoot. And I'm saying, are they talking about this guy who I'm in practice? And, you know, you heard about practice. You know, guys always talk about practice. You talking about practice?
Right.
Practice brings a different dimension, and you get to familiarize yourself with your players and also personnel. In practice, he proved that he could do all that stuff. So I tell people, I looked at this exit sign. Nate Archibald was walking out this exit. They was coming in the entrance sign, and I was blessed, okay, that Red Auerbach gave me a chance to play with, to me, the best front line in basketball. They stayed together for a long time, you know, with Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, and Larry Bird. But more importantly, Larry, it wasn't any more guessing in after practice because I knew that he could do a lot of things. And, you know, people say, well, you was the point person. No, you were the decision maker. You passed the ball to the right people, especially Larry, and you know what? He made things happen. He was, to me, the best player I ever played with, and he had a, you know, workman's, you know, talk about competitive nature in him. And I tell people, I know Larry. If Larry Bird, and Larry don't talk about it, if Larry Bird didn't hurt his back, Larry Bird would have still, not now, but would have still been playing in the NBA. But he couldn't give it 1,000% anymore, so he decided to, you know, I got to leave this game, even though I don't want to. He loved, and you know, the NBA slogan is "I love this game." He loved the competition. He loved the competitiveness, and he loved to put people in their place to show that you're wrong about me. And everybody who plays with him or plays against him says the same thing. Man, that guy, he was a professor of basketball.
Did he? What were your early conversations like with those guys? You knew right away that I'm going to facilitate decision maker. I'm going to set guys up and put them in the spot to be the most successful. But you were the perfect piece for that team, Tiny, to put that all together, to be the guy to run the show and facilitate and get those guys in the right spots and when called upon and when necessary, you could score when you needed to.
Yeah, well, I couldn't score like I did early on, and. Like I said, I was blessed to be in that situation. After me, Dennis Johnson, you know, continued that role. Those guys, and you know, you get different opinions on from different people. Larry didn't have to say that much. Okay, he would listen, and then if he disagreed with you, he would tell you, that play, that XYZ play that coach said we's gonna run, we ain't running that. Just give me the ball and get out the way. and that's all he had to say, because you putting the ball in somebody's hand, it's like E.F. Hutton, okay, in New York. Or, you know, when you go to Kentucky, you talk about the Mint. That's how good he was. That's how great he was. And, you know, you're talking about a guy who every year was a competitor. And he didn't win a championship every year because it came down to, you know, the Lakers and the Celtics. And before that, when we won a championship, it was Houston and the Celtics. But Larry was a guy that never gave up, never gave you an inch. And you was guarding him, and you say, I could contain him. I could guard him. He ain't going to score. He would figure it out like a professor, dissect you like Mike and Magic, okay? And next thing you know, you're puzzled again. How did he do that? Well, he's fundamentally sound, and he's mentally stable, okay? And he has high basketball intellect, and he might not be the fastest, but he can run. He might be not the highest jumper, but he can dunk. And he did a lot of things that a lot of guys don't do now. He did the basic fundamentals of boxing, listening to coaches, you know, going off of screens and stuff like that. And, you know, when you're talking about professors, there's only a couple of them that I come to right now. And I know I'm going to get a knock from people. But I look at Magic as changing the game because of his size. And I look at Michael. Michael's 6'7", 6'8". Michael Jordan's not 6'7", 6'8". He might have played that big, okay? But right. He had the competitive nature in him that you're not going to beat me. That was his thing. You're not going to beat me. And when I left, okay, I retired, it was, you know, the Boston Celtics, L.A., or it was Chicago was coming. And before Chicago was Detroit. So, I mean, he was always in a competitive, you know, division. And, you know, L.A. didn't just run away with the division, but L.A. was a team out west. It's like Golden State and San Antonio now. They was the premier team. And the NBA built this up so big, and they should have. It was always Larry Bird and the Celtics, Magic Johnson and the Lakers.
Oh, that's good stuff. Well, Tiny, I can't thank you enough. This has been a pleasure, a treat for me to listen to you. And I love your energy. I love your passion, and I love the work you're doing with kids. The game needs it. The game needs the fundamentals. The game needs the intelligence, the education part of it that you're so passionate about. So I commend you for how your work continues to go even beyond your playing days.
Well, I'm glad to be on your show, and I hope that everybody's listening. It's about our kids, boys and girls, young men, young ladies, go to school, higher education. Be a student athlete.
All right, terrific advice from one of the best. I appreciate Tiny, and we're going to have an All-Star game down here in Orlando, and I'd love nothing more than to meet you then. Well, maybe by then you'll be golfing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.